This podcast episode is supported by EBRD. Support to small and medium-sized businesses is an important part of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's mandate. Activities to support small businesses include direct and indirect financing through partner institutions. The EBRD's Advice for Small Businesses team provides the knowledge, the network, and the skills to help emerging businesses innovate, thrive, and succeed.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us at the Recursive Podcast. Our next guest is a dedicated engineer looking for solutions to reduce harmful emissions and popularize hydrogen technologies. Dragomir Ivanov is a leading expert in the field of hydrogen with over 16 years of experience. He is the founder of Hydrogenero, a company developing technologies for production, storage, and consumption of hydrogen. And he's also an author of two patents in the field. Dragomir's vision is to demonstrate that hydrogen can be the main energy source because it is universal, it has zero carbon footprint, and can completely replace conventional fuels. Drago?
That's right.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. I think I'm going to lead a lot of affirmation and confirmation on the topic because it is a deep tech topic. Not everyone can be as versed as you. So
yeah, we'll try to clarify all the complex words about the hydrogen.
Yes. How did you get into the topic of green energy? And why hydrogen particular was the thing that you wanted to focus on?
Very interesting question, because it all started at the university. Of course, the green topic is always around us as a part of our life. And hydrogen was part of my education as a topic. And when we receive as students the first pieces of normal information about the hydrogen, how it could be produced, how it could be used, it was like a spark about this technology and curiosity at first, and till now, 16 years already.
16 years?
Yeah.
What university was that?
The Chemical University in Bulgaria. Actually, there was the first degree about the hydrogen technologies as a pioneer in Bulgaria. As a university, everybody who wants to get a degree about this can do it there. Only this university for now, but I hope that other university will adopt this topic and make programs about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the green transition that we are facing right now is definitely going to need more experts in the field. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not everyone would be a scientist like you.
I will not say scientist, engineer. Because everything about the hydrogen nowadays is through experiments. There is no place from where you can get raw data about how it is functioning, how it should be used. Most experiments.
Yeah. How did you endeavor on your entrepreneurial path, though? By accident or?
No.
Okay.
No. If you want to make it something more and to take it out of the lab, you should go through this path.
Okay.
If you want to make it valuable for the people, you should take it out and to try to make something bigger, to make a team and to make products for the people. Because otherwise, yeah, in the lab is very interesting. You're making great achievements, but the path from the lab to the field and to the people is complex and long, and you have to do it by yourself.
I think many researchers would actually disagree. They feel quite comfortable in the lab. They do not consider entrepreneurship. So
I'm talking about Bulgaria.
Okay.
Because, yeah, work in the lab is the base. Everything is starting from there. But when we are talking about Bulgaria, it's the path is not paved, let's say. Abroad, every lab, a lot of companies are subsidizing these labs, and the results are going directly to the companies. Here, it's still not there.
Yeah, no, technology transfer is definitely a topic that we have a lot of work
to do. It's a huge gap.
It's a huge gap, yeah. But what made you confident that you can also succeed on the entrepreneurial path? I mean, it's a world probably that was very foreign to you at first.
I'm still not confident. that you will succeed.
Okay.
Yeah. the results, maybe. Because when you achieve something, from the idea to the real product, to the real result, and when you know something about this field, you know that it will be successful and it will help to develop more other products. Mm-hmm. You're giving a solution for some problem for this field. For example, the efficiency of the process. When you achieve 2-5% better efficiency, you know that this is something good and it will be good for the market, and it will make more easy to get the products to the market.
How was it? So tell me the story, actually. Did you anticipate commercializing an application of hydrogen on the market at first, and then you started designing experiments on how to do that? Or was it the other way around? You had results which were somehow conclusive from your research, and then you thought, actually, this could be commercialized. Okay, so this way.
That was the point, yeah. That was how it happened. No, the whole marketing thing for me is still something new. Mm-hmm. I know that nowadays it's one of the most important things if you want your products to be recognized and to be used. But yeah, the first thing was develop something as a product, mm-hmm. and after that show it to someone, mm-hmm. and to see the results, mm-hmm. and after that step by step.
Tell me about your experiment or research that led you to that conclusion. What were you currently working on?
Maybe the most interesting part was the first electrolyzer, mm-hmm. because this is the device which is producing the hydrogen from mm-hmm. the water. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you say that you can produce a fuel from water, everybody thinks that you're crazy or something. But actually, it's a very simple process. And in this, it's the beauty of the process. Mm-hmm. Of course, there was no place from where you can buy electrolyzer or even small one. Mm-hmm. That's why I should make it. Of course, it was ugly, and because I didn't have the needed tools and everything. Mm-hmm. But at the end, it was working. Of course, the efficiency was terrible. But when you see the whole process, water, electricity, and at the end, the flame, the pure flame, mm-hmm. without any emissions. It was very exciting. And after that, every day now is the same. Of course, the team is bigger, far more professional, mm-hmm. everything, and bigger electrolyzers.
For me, it's still kind of like a magic. It's like, literally, I mean, if you're someone who is a bit more poetic like me, because I do deal with stories and storytelling, it is like turning water into fire, mm-hmm. yeah?
Yeah, but the water molecule is hydrogen and oxygen. Mm-hmm. It's only this.
Yeah.
But they are together. Mm-hmm. When they are together, it is water. When mm-hmm. they are not together, it's a burning gas. And the beauty of this is, for example, if you use 1 liter of water to produce hydrogen mm-hmm. and oxygen, and after that, if you burn that amount of hydrogen and oxygen, it's getting back to exactly 1 liter of water.
Okay.
That's the beauty of the process.
Wow.
And for this, there is no need to use sweet water. Mm-hmm. You can use the salt water.
Which we have in abundance. Does it have to be clean water, or can we also use the polluted water that we also are going to have in abundance?
Yeah, mm-hmm. any kind.
Any kind.
That's the beauty. And if you use the salt water and use the hydrogen for the industry, for the transport and everything, mm-hmm. after that you will have sweet water, enough mm-hmm. sweet water.
And the first device that you actually produced, I would call it an MVP, and it wasn't efficient. How did it encourage you that actually there is a potential for a commercial idea?
I saw how simple it is as okay. a process. And because nowadays, as a country, if we want to use some kind of fuel, we have to buy it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But if you want to use hydrogen, you can produce it anywhere.
Yeah.
There is no need to buy it from someone. We can produce it at home if you want. Mm-hmm. You can produce. When you see the simplicity of the process, and after that, the power of this fuel, clean fuel, I was sure that one day there will be need of this. And there is one question from the beginning till now. Why we don't use this supply? Because we have, as you said, enormous amount of salt water. And if we use this amount of salt water for fuel, there is no need to, we will not have this climate crisis.
Yeah.
It's part of the planet. It's part of the nature as a process. We can still continue these fast growing industries, but without the harmful part. There is no need to stop something. You just have to be in the normal way.
And what is your answer to that question? Why aren't we doing that?
Nowadays, everybody is talking about decarbonization because it's too much.
Yeah, and also because I think we saw how dependent we are on, from certain providers when it comes to fossil fuels.
Actually, for the planet, there is no problem. There is a problem for the humankind.
That's actually because we're speaking about the planet, but at the same time, we don't realize that harming the planet... So planet is going to regenerate and recover in some ways, but actually we're acting against that humanity.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And now everybody's talking about hydrogen, how to produce it, how to transport it, how to make the legalization of the hydrogen and everything. It's a total mess, not only in Europe, all over the world. But I think that the humanity will succeed in this. After all, it's a simple process. It's not something so complex to be achieved.
Then what is the challenge of adopting it on a massive scale, you know, totally replacing the need of fossil fuels?
According to me, it's only the mindset.
It's only the mindset.
The technology is ready. Actually, it's not a new technology.
Yeah.
It's very old technology. It was well known before the Second World War. It's not a new technology. Nowadays, it's something... how to say, usable to find an answer for a huge problem as a climate crisis.
What are the risks of generating energy through that method, storing hydrogen, I don't know, transporting hydrogen? Is there, because I think at some point there was a huge discussion about the risks of it.
Yeah.
Is that solved or?
Actually, it was solved from the beginning. But due to lack of enough solid information, facts. Yes, the discussions are a lot in Bulgaria, even today. But the true fact is that there is no problem to transport it, to store it, to produce it. Actually, if we have to make a comparison, it's pretty much the same as the natural gas. How we use the natural gas and transport it from one country to another, it's pretty much the same. To transport it, to store it, to use it, there is no difference.
So there is obviously a lot of disinformation also in this field. What about the infrastructure? How difficult it would be for us to adopt to an infrastructure that is actually fueled by hydrogen?
Actually, in Bulgaria, due to the last data, I think that it was, the percentage was huge. It was around 70 or 80% of the gas network could have it on 100%. The rest up to 30% blend with the natural gas.
Wow. Okay. So the transition wouldn't be even that costly from...
No.
Okay.
The main problem is the production.
Okay.
There is need of investments in the production facilities to have it.
Okay.
And most of the countries are doing this. The hydrogen strategies of most of the countries, not only in Europe, are very good with in very short terms for execution. Our is not so good, but I think that...
You're operating on different markets with hydrogen aero in Bulgaria, in Poland, in Turkey. Let me know if I'm skipping something. Which of those markets is further ahead when it comes to the adoption of hydrogen for mass? And where is Bulgaria, for instance, in comparison to other countries in Europe?
Yeah, it's hard to say it, but yeah, we are not ahead. We are very late for now. All the countries you mentioned are in front of us. I don't even want to talk about Romania, which already have everything. the law, the legislation, the first funding, enormous funding only for hydrogen. And it's over there as a country. Here is more complicated, but I think that we will keep up as a country.
You know, sometimes when there is a challenge and there is a problem on the market, there is also, again, a huge market niche. So
yeah,
Hydrogenair being the first mover on this market, we could actually benefit from that. And from my own, also understand Southeast Europe and also our whole region, when it comes to energy inefficiency, is scoring quite high, which means that there is also a lot of potential of solving this issue.
That's
so
right.
Where do you see Hydrogenair developing in the future, being of, you know, someone who is a first mover on the market, someone who has been already also funded by respectable funds, and you continue growing? Do you envision of you being a market leader here in Southeast Europe, or are you going to focus on other markets which are more developed?
No, from the beginning, we want to develop our company here.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly for this purpose. We don't see Hydrogenair as a market leader or first mover. We are just trying to make the things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, we are going through this path as a first mover.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard path. Yes, of course, it's a huge potential about this. But as a company, we want just to be part of decarbonization and to show to the people that hydrogen could replace all fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yeah, the initiative for the first charging station will be ours.
Mm-hmm.
The initiative for the hydrogen cars in the transport, we're working on this field. For the heating systems using hydrogen. And of course, the big electrolyzers producing huge amount of hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that to the end of this year or the beginning of next year, we will show the first 1 megawatt electrolyzer, which is something big for us as a company.
Where is it going to be?
Here in Bulgaria.
Where in Bulgaria?
Near Plovdiv.
Near Plovdiv. Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
For the region, such kind of installation will, I hope that it will give more courage to the people when they see this piece of equipment working,
mm-hmm.
that it's not something alien as a technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's something normal and everybody can use it as a fuel. That's the main point for us.
You mentioned before that now, you know, stepping into the shoes of an entrepreneur, you understand how important marketing is. And at the same time, I'm thinking, and actually I do know how difficult it is to change people's mindset. This is like one of the hardest jobs in the world. And I think even amounts of, millions of dollars in marketing that they're aiming to do that is not going to be enough.
Yeah.
So what kind of support do you receive from other stakeholders in the ecosystem when it comes to changing this mindset and showing that this technology is the future and has a lot of potential and is not something that is dangerous, is not something that we should be worried about. It is actually a viable energy transition.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, everyone who is involved in somehow in this is trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Bulgarian institutions want to help somehow. Everybody who is part of this and, let's say, who saw the hydrogen burning is trying to push it. That's why I'm confident that if we say hydrogen revolution, it will be okay. It will happen in Bulgaria and in the region.
Aren't you worried that sooner or later the big oil companies are going to knock on your door and they're going to, I don't know, acquire the company that you have built, the technology that you have developed? How are you going to deal with this kind of like a political tension that...
Actually, this question is in the air from the beginning.
Yes.
When we started with this. But when you see how the hydrogen is developing as a part of the economy, you can see that even the big companies, oil companies, are working in this field because it's easier to change the fuel
Yeah.
even for for them because it's easier to produce it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it will be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
After all, the demand of hydrogen in the next years will be enormous. So we should use everybody who is capable to produce something. Because we really need huge amounts of hydrogen.
That would have been my next question. There is also a lot of other companies who are working in the field, and they're working on specific parts of this cycle that we're going to need in order to manage this energy transition and provide hydrogen to the masses, basically, like to a mass adoption. How worried are you about competition at this point? Is there enough space for everyone on the market?
Yeah, they're not enough.
They're not enough?
No, they're not enough. It's getting easier when such kind of companies, which you mentioned about specific process, are working only on this.
Yeah.
It's easier for everyone because there is no need to produce every piece of equipment by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can collaborate with other companies.
Yeah.
But for now, not enough companies.
Who are your natural partners when you grow hydrogen air in the future? Well, what kind of companies are you going to partner with?
From the beginning, we had to develop every part of the system because there was no such kind of companies.
Yeah.
And till now, we are doing this by ourselves. But in the future, if we find a good partner for some kind of equipment, we will cooperate. Of course, even now we are using a lot of suppliers of different kind of parts, sensors, pumps, and whatever is needed about the equipment. But I hope that in the future we will have more opportunities to choose. I can give you an example about simple gasket. Simple as a gasket.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be with specific characteristics. And for now, with our partner, again in Bulgaria, we gave them the recipe and they are producing it for us. But nowadays, you can find some companies, of course, not in our country, but for now in USA, but they are starting to produce gaskets specially for this, which in the future will be more easy for us to, when you need huge amounts, you have to order from someone big, because it's hard to produce every piece of equipment if you want to make a mass production.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not your job. But from what I understand, your strategy is now more or less to focus on providing solutions for the industry.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think because I've been interviewing different business leaders, some of them in production, some of them in machine building and operating industries, and many of them lay a strong focus on being green and actually the energy transition and reducing emissions from energy consumption is one of the main priorities. So what do you do when such leaders or such companies actually knock on your door and say, we want to work on a solution together? What kind of solutions are you providing to them? Let's say you have a huge plant, production plant, and the production that production activities that you have in your company are fueled by fossil fuels right now. How can you make this transition?
Yeah. Actually, we have a lot of questions like this from big companies. The easiest way is to start with, let's say, a blend with small amounts.
Okay.
To put small amounts of hydrogen in the fossil fuel and to build a strategy in 2-3, it depends on the company, 5 years, you can replace the whole fossil fuel with hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
The best way is if you produce it by yourself.
Okay.
With solar panels, wind, whatever, to get some autonomy about the company and to be totally green, because when you use hydrogen, there are no harmful emissions. That's the way to reduce the...
What if a company wants to build their own electrolyzers?
This podcast episode is supported by EBRD. Support to small and medium-sized businesses is an important part of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's mandate. Activities to support small businesses include direct and indirect financing through partner institutions. The EBRD's Advice for Small Businesses team provides the knowledge, the network, and the skills to help emerging businesses innovate, thrive, and succeed.
What if a company wants to build their own electrolyzers and have them? Is it something that you would advise, or how?
They want to buy.
Okay.
They want to buy the thing that is producing hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
For now, there are no companies who want to produce their own electrolyzer.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Right. They want to
buy. What kind of investment is this, actually? I mean, if you want to have your own electrolyzers at your plant,
it depends.
What kind of cost is that?
It depends on the amount of hydrogen needed to be produced.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to answer because we as a company, we are not mass producing one or two products.
Mm-hmm.
Our business model is a little bit different because one of the big questions about the hydrogen nowadays is the final price of the hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that if you don't tailor-made the whole system for the customer, at the end the price is high.
Yeah.
But if you develop it according exactly to the needs of the customer, you can achieve really low price. That's one of the differences between our company and most of the other companies. Yes, of course, it's easier to have five or six products, mass production, and say, this is electrolyzer one, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
These are the products, you can buy them. No, for every customer, we are going there, investigating what are their needs, after that, going back, making plans and develop it, produce it only for them. So it's every time it's different as a price and as a technology.
Can you achieve a price that is competitive to gas or electricity at this point? Or is hydrogen production still much more expensive than...
Maybe if we give an example with the transport, for example, for one car using fossil fuels and hydrogen as a fuel...
Mm-hmm.
Even nowadays, with the prices, for example, in Germany on the charging stations, I'm giving Germany as an example because we still don't have a charging station. I hope that we will have soon in Bulgaria.
Yeah,
it's the last price was 15 euro per kilogram. When you compare it with 1 liter of diesel or petrol, it sounds a lot. But when you put equal amount, let's say 50 euro of diesel in the first car and 50 euro of hydrogen in the second car, it's absolutely comparable.
Okay, because the consumption is much lower. Okay.
So the price is nowadays is okay.
I think what we're also not calculating into the oil and gas prices is all the externalities which we have on the planet, because
it's
we
one
start
of our
doing
goals,
that.
Yeah, to inform and trying to inform what are the additional costs of this fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm someone who is a dreamer, but I started thinking of the world where, you know, hydrogen will be like the most normal thing in the world, and it's going to be adopted by everyone and all the industries. And I imagine that the prices are going to tend to zero because, I mean, what is going to happen then?
Actually, it's a very interesting question because everybody is asking about the price, of course.
Yeah.
But from one side, when you have the electricity from the sun or from the wind, and from the other side, you need water.
Yeah.
And you have it in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
What will be the price of the hydrogen?
I guess zero.
If our CFO was here, he would say, no, the price is something different.
Of course.
But it's due to the equipment.
Yeah, of course.
I'm pretty sure that it will happen exactly the same as the solar panels. At the beginning, the price was rocking the sky, but nowadays they're pretty much affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are other problems with the solar panels, but it will happen the same way with the electrolyzers and the hydrogen as a price.
I also wonder how is this going to change humanity, because actually a lot of our efforts and, you know, creating energy or, mm-hmm. you know, supplying the world with the energy that we need is one of our main cost centers as humanity at this point. It requires a lot of effort. Many people are actually involved in the whole thing. Like, you can actually say that right now our economy is evolving around how are we going to sustain or how are we going to produce the energy that we actually need in order to function exactly. as a humanity and fuel the growth that we actually have as a humanity. If we actually make the energy prices low and we make energy actually really, really cheap, I think this is going to have a profound effect on how we function as societies. And I'm trying to imagine that in my head, and I just thought maybe you thought about that too. How is this going to change? I mean, are we all going to have a universal basic income? We're going to let machines and AIs do the work for us, and what are we going to do then?
I didn't go so far.
Okay.
Maybe I was just thinking about the green energy.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that soon we will have enough green energy and we won't be bothering about the harmful emissions because the technology which we need is here. We have mm-hmm. it. We just need to change a little bit our mindset and to accept it as, mm-hmm. let's say, something new, the new normal, maybe.
Yeah. I want to ask you also a bit about the business side of mm-hmm. your endeavor. Now, in 2023, you announced your fundraising round. Congratulations on that. The Recursive actually reported about it, and I was very happy to see a company from Bulgaria being supported also by also some Bulgarian funds and see it growing and validated also by the investor community. Still, fundraising for a deep tech company is, I guess, challenging. Can you share a bit about, you know, the process and maybe do you have some tips of other founders who are in this field?
Actually, yeah, it was challenging because for us as a company, as a team, it was something new. Mm-hmm. For the Bulgarian ecosystem, it's still something new. I can see that it was actually very professional mm-hmm. from all the involved parties in this effort. And if I can say so, just as a piece of an advice, it's not so hard. It's pretty much the same like, let's say, in Germany. It depends on the team.
Okay.
Because our team, which was working about this process, I can say that they are good professionals and everything was easy. Mm-hmm. Even at the end, they are joking with me still. When everything was finished, I still didn't believe that it was happening.
And how long did it take you to close the round, actually? How long?
I think that from the first conversation about this to the end.
Well, from the first pitching, probably. I mean, I guess you've heard also a couple of no's.
Yeah. From the first pitching, it was fast. From the first conversation about the idea to the end, mm-hmm. 6 months.
6 months?
Yep.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, for me also was
very fast.
How it is possible.
Amazing, okay.
Yeah.
And how long did you work on the product before that?
As we mentioned at the beginning, 16 years in this field. On the product from 2016.
How did you bootstrap that? I mean, I guess you were probably still employed, but how did you finance actually this research phase and R&D phase? Yeah.
If I have to be honest, I cannot say. I don't know. It was hard, but yeah.
It was hard. You just prefer not to think about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
At the end, I can say that it was okay. Mm-hmm. The price, maybe my wife will disagree, but because the price is big. Yeah. But I think that nowadays it's okay.
Yeah, she's here in the background and I can just see her face. Oh my God. Okay, good. Then let's not talk too much about the past. Obviously, it's not, it was a challenging period, but let's look at the challenges of today. What is the greatest challenge that you have to face as a company today?
Easy, the mm-hmm. legislation.
The legislation.
Yeah, it's hard because everybody's talking about this. But there is no paved way about the integration of such huge projects. If you want to make an installation to produce hydrogen, there are a lot of questions. And
is it the national legislation that is challenging, or the European?
The national.
The national.
And the European is trying to make it as easy as possible to integrate it as a technology and to start producing hydrogen. But
is there an association or some kind of an organization that is helping legislators in this way find the right solutions? And also helping you actually to work with legislators?
Actually, we as a production company, we're producing the products according to the legislation, European one. We should know it.
Standards, okay.
We should know it if we want to produce something.
Of course.
But after that, when we're trying to sell and to install it, we need the institutions to come, to see, to check, to give the permission. And there are still a lot of questions. Even now for Bulgaria, if you want to make, let's say, Hydrogen Valley, probably we will use institutions from abroad to come here and to make the papers because they know how to do it.
What is a Hydrogen Valley?
Hydrogen Valley is something, let's say, very poetic as an idea. How to say? It's a place, for example, they made one in UK. It was very nice to see it working. For example, one neighborhood from small houses. In the green field behind the neighborhood, there are solar panels and a couple of electrolyzers. And with this, they are making their own green energy for all they need, for cooking, for heating, for the cars, electricity, everything. Just closed.
And such an experiment has already been done in London or in Great Britain?
And actually, there are a lot of projects for hydrogen valleys all over Europe and the world, of course. This example was for the domestic, but it could work for the industry, of course.
That would have been my next question.
Course, in bigger than for the domestic, but it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
We have to get used with this that we can produce hydrogen everywhere. There is no need to be one pipe from somewhere coming and going. You can produce it anywhere and to store it. And for example, one factory, of course, with enough green field and solar panels, they can make it 24/7.
So you just need space.
Need space, yeah.
Wow, okay. What about the water that you're going to need? How do you need like a water supply from somewhere, or do you need like a natural lake or whatever nearby? No, not necessarily.
No, when we're working on a different projects, we're trying to suggest to our partners and customers that they can use any kind of water.
Okay.
There is no need. Actually, we are avoiding to use sweet water.
Yeah, because
directly.
I mean, it's scarce anyway.
Yeah, we are trying to tell them that they can collect the rainwater. They can, if they have some kind of polluted water from the production, and of course the salt water, but it needs some more time about this.
Okay, interesting. Okay, I'm gonna jump to this one. Interesting. You have incorporated the hydrogen plant for heating in a school building in Sofia.
Yeah.
Can you share a bit about the results and of the project and what were the steps for, you know, a mass adoption like this? I mean, we also are fighting with the energy in schools. I think every winter we would have some kind of like vacation because we cannot heat the rooms. Parents are worried that it's actually cold in the winter. Yeah.
That's why we decided to do this for the schools. Actually, we wanted to achieve more things. First, of course, to be warmer during the winters. On the second place, there is not information nowadays about the hydrogen, about this process during even to the 12th grade. There is not enough information. We wanted to bring back this process in school, to get familiar with this process from school and to to be interested in this, because back in the day there was enough information about this. And actually as a result it was really good, especially for this school in Sofia. They're using diesel. We achieved to replace around 30% of the used diesel about the heating. As a final result, of course, it is warmer in the school.
What there about the quality of the air? Because some friends of mine, the other founders, green founders, have actually measured also the quality of the air in the rooms, in schools, and it was devastating.
Yeah, as I said, 30% reduction of the used diesel. Yeah. Not much, but 30% reduction of the emissions in the air. I hope that in the future we will increase the amount, because we have several installations, not only in Sofia, in schools, in kindergartens. Because the schools are, how to say, they have enough space on the roof for solar panels.
True.
And actually, they can produce their own fuel during the summer.
Yeah.
And after that, to use it during the winter. I hope that this idea will be adopted from the people, because it's doable, actually.
It's always kind of like a stakeholder process when it comes to energy and, introducing new kind of solutions. So in this sense, do you believe that this transition would be rather pushed by governments?
It's already pushed.
Or the industry?
It's already pushed from the both sides.
So, yeah. Okay.
Mainly from the governments, because they're, how to say, sorry, and the CO2 emissions and the taxes about the CO2 emissions are coming from the governments. But the industries, when they face these taxes, they want to find a solution, you know, to pay such amount of taxes. So nowadays, both sides are working in the same direction, and they know that there is no other way.
Yeah.
Because with the fossil fuels, it's getting very expensive to produce. Due to the taxes, it's very expensive. If you reduce the payment for the taxes, you can reduce the price of the final product. That's why everybody's trying to be green.
Tell me about the reskilling need that we're going to have in order to produce hydrogen. What kind of people are we going to need for that? And how are we going to reskill the existing workforce in this industry?
I think that it's going to be the hard way.
Okay.
It's not a complex process. We have enough specialists and engineers who can work on this. We are a good example. Our team, when someone is coming in our company, he doesn't have a background as a hydrogen specialist or something.
Okay. What did they study before?
If we're talking about the engineering team.
Yes.
We are engineers, different kind of engineers, automation, chemical engineers, electrical.
So classical, STEM,
Wow. Electronics. So I think that it won't be hard.
Okay. I see that you're also an optimistic person, otherwise you won't be doing that what you're doing. So maybe you can share about your wildest goal for Hydrogen Era. How far do you want to go? Because I was actually very impressed by a statement, and I keep on repeating it. Maybe some of our audience, someone in our audience would be bored with it, but I never thought of it. And I was listening to a podcast with an investor, Chamath Palihapitiya. I'm not even sure that I pronounce his surname right, but he'll have to excuse me. He made a statement that the first trillionaire in the world will actually come from energy transition. What is your wildest dream?
I don't know about that, but as a wildest dream for Hydrogen Era, to be a significant part of this energy transition, and to be, how to say, I would like to believe that most of the electrolyzers here in Bulgaria and around will be produced by us.
It seems to me tangible. I think you can go even higher up. Our time is up, unfortunately. I would like to know a bit more about how we can also participate in this process, because I believe that as media, we do have a certain influence on the mindsets of people, and also a certain role in fighting disinformation.
Yeah.
So please rely on us that we would love to support you, especially because we are convinced that we should go much faster, much greener.
Thank you about this.
And also because we love to support companies which are from the region, because I believe that when it comes to scaling internationally and funding our growth, we are not we're not equal to our competitors in the West. So please rely on us.
Thank you.
Keep us informed about all the milestones that you would be hitting.
We will.
And wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Drago.
And if you're just as passionate about innovation as we are, hit subscribe for the Recursive Podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. We're everywhere. This podcast episode is supported by EBRD. Support to small and medium-sized businesses is an important part of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's mandate. Activities to support small businesses include direct and indirect financing through partner institutions. The EBRD's Advice for Small Businesses team provides the knowledge, the network, and the skills to help emerging businesses innovate, thrive, and succeed.